Hello, welcome to Arcade Couch, the best place to chill with friends and get your gamers goodness each and every Monday. My name is Dylan White, and joining me on the couch this week, Ashley Hobley.
Hey, Dylan, excited to be here in a week where It Takes Two just hit 16 million copies sold. Woo! It's 32 million people who have played It Takes Two.
Although you care much.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks.
How many copies have you brought, Kieran?
I think none, because I think I got to share with Buddy, I think.
Makes sense. You wanted the trophies.
Yeah, no, I think Buddy purchased it, and I just, so I think.
That would make sense, actually.
Yeah, no, I think I'm right.
That would make sense, yeah. There's not a lot to go over this week. Easter? Video game season? Not really.
Yeah.
Not really a thing, but nonetheless. All right, so let's dive straight into it. Go over the Metacritic gaming publisher rankings that they put out each and every year. Press up, put up the list here. So just let's have a look at the top. I'm just going to go from, where was I going to go through? 10 backwards to see if any of this sounds out as surprising. So number 10, and then, by the way, this is like the average Metascore for these publishers' games, obviously. Thunderful. 79.1. Does anyone know what Thunderful publishes? Or what they
published? Worldless.
Says Ashley, who's currently looking it up on
Google. Yeah, I'm currently on the Metacritic.
I can see him clicking around.
Do you think that was their big standout game?
Well, that's what they've got listed as the top game.
That is the first thing that comes up in his search.
Not like
Steam. They released 7 titles last year, so.
Yeah. So I was trying to find the full list, actually. Planet Lana, Viewfinder, Dr. Fetus, Mean Machine, Like a Blood, Age Through Blood, SteamWorld, Build.
Lego Brick. Bunch of good things. Solid.
That's solid. Surprising they're in the top 10? Personally, I'd say yes. So anyway. Not to say this stuff's bad, it's just like, you
know. Well, just you go to number 11 and it's Devolver Digital. I mean, then you go, oh, okay, so that's surprising.
That is surprising, yeah. Usually they're in the top 10, I feel.
Mm.
Number 9, Sega.
Sega!
Is that surprising?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Not really. They release a Sonic game every now and then, right?
Persona games last year? The Persona remasters?
Yeah, I was going to say, Sonic is definitely not the reason they're in the top 10 publishers here. It's everything else they're publishing.
I always forget that Persona is Sega, or that they're the publisher.
Or even any of the Yakuza games, or Like a Dragon games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 8, Bethesda Softworks. What they put out last year?
Hi-Fi Rush. Doing all the heavy lifting. Like, a lot of heavy lifting, considering that they put out, 3 Hi-Fi Rush, there was Starfield, and then also Redfall, so.
Starfield wasn't that bad. Like, Starfield, I would say Starfield.
Redfall is obviously, you know.
Redfall is, average game. But I would say, like, Hi-Fi Rush and Starfield are lifting Redfall, not Hi-Fi Rush lifting the other way around.
Axis Games, number 7. Axis Games.
No.
Are they?
They did Jack Jean, which is a game that I've seen high on a lot of, like, the Open Critic and stuff that I don't think I've ever seen anybody talk about.
I think they do a lot of visual novels or RPGs.
Yeah, they do those sort of. Let's see.
What the fuck they put out last year, I gotta be honest, I have no clue. Stuff that none of us have played is my answer to that question. Number 6. Nintendo. High or low for Nintendo?
I think that's a bit low.
Mm.
I'd expect Nintendo
to be a bit low when you consider they released Tears of the Kingdom last year.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm.
It was a Zelda year, and they ended up in 6.
They also, Pikmin was last year as well, wasn't it?
Pikmin was last year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was bloody 1-2 whatever. 1-2 Switch.
1-2 Switch.
Whatever the shitty. The 1-2 Switch sequel.
Mm. It's true. I forgot that came out last year. Yeah, so that would have brought them down. I guess that's the. Yeah. Number 5, Annapurna Interactive.
Yeah. Very good.
They're usually in the top echelon a lot of times these days.
Says, what? Cocoon, Thirsty Suitors, Storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
They're the ones. I think Cocoon did a lot of, not heavy lifting, but definitely mm-hmm. anchored them higher there. Number 4, Dangan Entertainment. Who is Dangan Entertainment?
Japanese publisher Dangan barely released enough products to qualify for a list, but nevertheless ranked highly thanks to its 100% success rate with all 5 of its 2023 releases scoring 75 or above. They did The Last Spell, another game I've never heard of.
Is that a you problem or a them problem? You know what I mean?
I know. Have you heard of it?
Them? Yeah, they published Bug Fables.
The Last. Okay.
That's all I got. Chorus Worldwide, number 3. Chorus Worldwide. Now, I know them as the Coffee Talk people.
Yes, they did Coffee Talk, but they also published A Space for the Unbound.
Ah, and I love that game.
So.
Oh, and they did with When the World Was Around. When the Past was around, sorry. And you know, whatever. Yeah. Number 2, Raw Fury.
Yep.
Raw Fury does a lot of big caliber indie games. What they have last, what was last, was last year?
Cassette Beasts.
No. Oh, Cassette Beasts.
And American Arcadia.
Which a lot of people love.
Yeah.
Oh, and Pizza Possum was last.
Pizza year. Possum.
These are games.
I mean, we reviewed, or not we, Will reviewed American Arcadia first. He liked
yes.
it. Yes. Superfuse he did as well. Fucking, there you go. And the number 1 was Capcom.
Resident Evil 4. Everybody loves it.
Now, Kieran, as someone who loves Resident Evil 4 Remake getting onto so many top 10 lists, how do you feel about that being the leading cause for Capcom to be the number 1 publisher on Metacritic?
I don't think it's like, this one isn't so bad because this one is just, makes sense because Resident Evil 4 was beloved, you know? Like Resident Evil 4, and it just kind of shows that, okay, if Resident Evil 4 remake can like not single-handedly but do a lot of the heavy lifting for a publisher, it makes it surprising that Nintendo is not higher, because it just means, okay, Zelda didn't do as well, I guess, heavy lifting wise.
No, it's the other games that are dropping it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Capcom, yes. I think a lot of people are forgetting is they had Exo Primal, so
yeah, so they had the lackluster title, but they also had Street what? Fighter. Exo Primal did not do well.
But honestly, I don't like for this kind of discussion, I don't mind. I think Resident Evil Remake, my only problem, like, I liked it and I enjoyed my time with it. My only problem with Resident Evil Remake is just its appearance on Game of the Year lists and in awarding, when there's so many other things that deserve to be there for the, you know, without relying on the nostalgia factor or a title that's already been released and beloved before.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that's the top 10 list, so you can look at that online if you want to look through the full list.
Interesting, the other two.
11 and 12.
Well, where's Microsoft on this list?
So Sony is 13. Microsoft as a whole is 15.
So, I can understand Microsoft, because Microsoft is... Redfall. No, well, if Redfall is classed, that's weird.
Well, no. Yeah, Microsoft is separate to Bethesda. So.
It's separate to Bethesda. Okay, that one makes sense then.
So Microsoft's listed top release is Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition for the Xbox.
Right, okay. And what's Sony's?
Spider-Man 2.
That's insane that Spider-Man is. What has Sony got that drags it down so much?
I think it's they weight the scores if they only release like X amount of games.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the titles, so. And then. Yeah, I don't know how they do the points. So it's averaged of all games to equal 150 points. The percentage of scored products with good reviews of 75 or higher is out of a possible 100. And then percentage of bad reviews out of 100. It works out to be 100 points. Bonus points for score games that got 90 plus.
They got a system.
Convoluted system, but a system nonetheless.
Whatever works for them.
Yeah.
Talking about publishers, though.
Yes.
Polygon writes, Embracer has sold Gearbox and Borderlands to Take-Two for $460 million. Troubled gaming conglomerate Embracer announced Thursday that it has agreed to sell Gearbox Entertainment to the studio behind the Borderlands games. The Grand Theft Auto publisher Take-Two for $460 million. The deal makes a lot of sense. Take-Two has been a publisher for Borderlands through its 2K Games label for long before Gearbox was acquired by Embracer in 2021. In its press release, 2K said the next Borderlands game was in active development at Gearbox. As part of the deal, Take-Two acquires the Borderlands franchise and its spin-off series Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, as well as Homeworld, Risk of Rain, Brothers in Arms, and Duke Nukem series. The studios acquired by Take-Two are the Gearbox mothership in Frisco, Texas, as well as Gearbox Montreal and Gearbox Studio Quebec. The Embracer hold.
Well, I hope cracks. they make a documentary series when they release their next game called like Breaking the Embrace or something.
That's a pretty good name.
Like that'd be a really solid name for something.
Well, I mean, when Embracer eventually crumbles, and then you know.
Yes. Yeah.
We can all talk about it.
So any thoughts on them being brought up by Take-Two? Pretty much it's like, hey, the people who were publishing the games now own them. And then B...
Yeah, I mean, it was weird that they weren't owned by them in the first place. Kind of.
I thought they were.
Yeah. So...
But they weren't.
But they weren't, so... But now they are. Sorry.
And since this is the first official word that a Borderlands 4 is in active development, what do we need out of Borderlands 4, Kieran?
To return to the heights of Borderlands 2.
How do you do that?
I think they've got a
Handsome Jack returns from the dead.
Not even Handsome Jack, but I think the biggest problem a lot of people had with Borderlands 3 was that it was heavily wrapped into being like this satirical view on streaming and that kind of culture. And then there was a lot of political commentary throughout the story and the writing of that game that I feel isn't needed. I think if they go back to Borderlands writing with good characters focused on the world of Pandora and focused on the people and the vaults and having an iconic villain and building up your characters again and having a good central cast, I think that's all that matters. You know, I think the core gameplay of Borderlands is really fucking good. It's really fun. That shit's down pat, right? Like the shoot and loot gameplay that they've got down pat with their style works really well. Continue to do it. Continue to build your guns. So they've already showed what they could do with Tiny Tina's Wonderland. Like, you know, to take the Borderlands aspects, and that game I thought was really good. It had the writing to back it up. And just to do it on a grander scale with a main title release. I think I've not looked at, like, anything I've seen of the Borderlands movie coming out isn't good. So it's just I put a lot of hope in Borderlands 4 to return to a lot of the things and a lot of the style that I love. Like, Still to this day, I think, you know, personally, I think Hansel Jack is one of my favorite antagonists in a video game franchise of all time. Like him, his feature in both Borderlands 2 and then also in the Tales of the Borderlands Telltale game. And the pre-sequel as well, I think he's well worth that time and effort that they put into him. I'd love for them to not so much try and replicate it, but reach those heights again with another character and have that chemistry between the protagonist and the antagonist again.
So the solution is tell a good story with good characters.
Yes, that is 100% it. Try not to let... You know, especially now that the Take-Two and Rockstar kind of owned, like, let GTA be the satirical thing. Like, let that be GTA's thing. Where
I mean, Borderlands has always been satirical in its way.
In its way,
I think it was just very heavy-handed with not to the point a topic that was very on the nose.
I feel like it was the thing is right. The satire, I say, like in GTA, right? The satire is front and center. That is 100%. That is kind of the core of that game and where it stems from a lot of the time and its writing. I would say, yes, the satire is there to make jokes about outside world aspects, but that isn't the core of Borderlands as a franchise, where I think it was the core of Borderlands 3 was, especially the antagonists were that theory, that viewpoint of streamers and content creators. Like, those, the two twins, like the main antagonists of the game, were baked into that and were like heavily kind of developed around that idea, which I don't think is the way to go with Borderlands at all.
Yeah, I tell you what, my first thought when I saw this was nothing about story or anything because I just haven't played the games enough, but I was thinking, man, they're just going to use AI to do all the guns now, aren't they?
I hope not.
I mean, technically they were using AI because all of it's technically randomly generated, so.
Yeah, but the assets that they randomly combine, if it's all of the, you know what I mean, like fully.
Which is the AI, what they were doing before, all the guns look different every time.
No. But they would draw from a pool of elements, like hand, like it was still like the gun, this head, and like this idea.
Well, it was always based on like what company made the guns. Like the company that made the gun had a style to the gun, and the guns fit into that style and makeup even though they were randomly generated.
Why are you just assuming the worst, Dylan?
Yes, I will say that. What has brought you to expect
what is that? What is Take-Two or Gearbox made you believe that they would?
Randy Pitchford.
But Randy Pitchford's nothing to do with it anymore, is he?
Yeah.
I thought he would... No.
He does magic.
What?
Do you not know that? He does magic? He does magic, Karen.
What do you mean he does magic?
Can you just Google Randy Pitchford magic? Like, you're looking at me like I'm like talking shit. I'm telling you, if you Google Randy Pitchford magic, something, the first result will be something. Because there's no way it doesn't. And I fucking feel like I need to do this myself. Randy Pitchford magic.
Buys Hollywood's magic castle.
Yeah, he loves magic. Do you not know this? Randy Pitchford loves magic.
I don't pay much attention to Randy Pitchford because I think he's a piece of shit. But I don't think he's nothing to do with Take-Two anymore, is he?
Gearbox.
I didn't think he was anything to do with Gearbox at all anymore.
He is the president and CEO of Gearbox Entertainment.
I thought he had left. That's disappointing.
Pitchford's great uncle was Richard Valentine Pitchford, a British magician who performed at the stage name Cardini. Pitchford inherited many of Cardini's books and developed an interest in magic at a young age. I'm reading from Wikipedia, by the way. The Magic Castle in Hollywood, California has an exhibit dedicated to Cardini, which contains props from Pitchford donated to the Academy of Magic Arts for display. While he proceeded to work in video games on the side, he continues to perform as a professional magician in Hollywood to help pay for school. In 2016, Pitchford purchased Genie Magazine, a publication for magic and magicians. He is a member of the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, and in April 2022, acquired the Magic Castle. Pitchford credits his career to entertainment to the Magic Castle.
Cool.
He's a magician.
What's wrong with that?
It's very funny.
Jeez. You know what Brandy Pitch would say if he was here right now? Why you guys would fuck me on this is beyond me. Thanks a lot.
You never wondered why his Twitter handle's like Juval Magic or
something? Magic or some shit.
Yeah. Man, I'm really like filling in some Gearbox lore here for you. All right, next story. Marvel's Rivals is a new 6v6
Let's go!
Shooting starring... Okay, that was your thoughts. Okay. After press our rights, after teasing it yesterday, Marvel and NetEase have confirmed recent rumors that they're working on a 6v6 online multiplayer hero shooter, officially lifting the lid on Marvel's Rivals for PC. The game, which is mostly easy compared to something like Overwatch, will feature an original storyline that sees a colliding of universes at the hands of Doctor Doom, resulting in superheroes and villains from across the multiverse fighting together and against one another. Despite the shooter moniker, Rivals naturally features mostly heroes who aren't so much shooting as using a wide variety of powers and melee attacks, so this isn't some sort of Suicide Squad situation where Marvel's handed out actual guns to a bunch of powerful beings that don't need them. NetEase looks to be giving the game a few points of difference to other similar titles with things like team-up skills, where different combinations of heroes can make special advantages like having Rocket Raccoon ride on Groot or using Hulk's Gamma Energy to charge Iron Man's armor. Maps will also feature environmental destruction for evolving strategies as matches go on. Naturally, NetEase will support the game over time with seasonal content that adds new heroes, challenges, and maps. So far, the playable characters shown off for the game are Black Panther, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange. Hold on, Spider-Man may or may not be exclusive to the PlayStation version of the game. We don't know for sure.
It's only on PC. It's only on PC. Just because Yuri Lowenthal is fucking voicing it, it doesn't mean it's locked.
Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Rocket Raccoon, Groot, Hulk, Iron Man, Loki the Punisher, Star-Lord, Luna Snow, Magic, Magneto, Mantis, Namor, Penny Parker, and Storm. A closed alpha test for Marvel's Rival will be kicking off in May. Kieran, since you yelled out excitedly, looking forward to this?
So I've already signed up for the alpha.
Okay,
so
of course,
I hope I get in. I'm interested. I think this game could go either way. Looking at the gameplay, it looks very much like Smite, which I wasn't the biggest fan of, but I can definitely see the Smite style.
Smite was a MOBA, though.
Smite was a MOBA. But Overwatch is a MOBA that's just a first-person shooter. Like,
not really. It doesn't have a lot of things I like about MOBAs, but
I think this game is going to be closer to Smite than it will be Overwatch in the end. Just from the basic gameplay of what they showed, it looks like there's creeps. It looks like there's like more NPC enemies to fight. It doesn't look like it's just straight up one-on-one, like PvP. Like, it looks like there are PvE elements to this game.
It appears more MOBA than hero shooter.
Yeah, 100%. I'm excited. I just think it's... yes, you could look at this the cynical way of like somebody at Marvel has just looked at, oh, sweet, we can make a free-to-play game that's going to have seasonal battle passes, that's going to have microtransactions, that's going to have all of the benefits of live service games baked into it. Sweet, let's do that. I'm excited for it to evolve. I think this idea of an evolving story that's going to play out in the game. You know, one of my personal things is I've always been kind of jealous. Maybe not jealous, but like I always wish I'd been involved in something like Fortnite with its like... Fortnite's overall grand storytelling, how it tells and has events that happen in the game and happen in matches. I think I'm excited for the potential and the possibility to have something like that in Marvel's Rivals. I think they're starting out with a great cast. It depends how it plays. It depends on the moment-to-moment gameplay. It depends on like the balancing around the game, how it plays out. But I think it should be something really fun and exciting, and it's definitely something that I look forward to jumping in and giving a try.
Ash, I presume you're excited for this too?
I would say excited. It's there. I'll wait and see. You know, it definitely doesn't fill me with like, oh, I definitely need to play this, you know? I think graphically it's not super impressive. Obviously it's made by NetEase, who are known mostly for their mobile games. And that's kind of what this looks like, an up-resed mobile game.
Mr. Graphics, always talking about...
I was going to say, yeah, Mr. Graph. Mr. Like, plays on a fucking CRT and he's fucking bagging out graphics. What the fuck?
That's how bad they are that I can tell the difference.
Meanwhile, he's playing the video in like 360p and like 30 frames a second.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll wait and see. It just depends if it's actually fun when you play it. That's all it's going to come down to. I mean, it could potentially be a huge success, like a Genshin Impact kind of situation. I guess that and price point, I guess, would be the two things that, you know. Is it free to play? I can't remember if they said. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be free to play.
Yeah, so, I mean, the barrier to entry is very small.
Insane to make game after Suicide Squad, which is still having problems with its new season and stuff.
What, the season where they make you reset your to zero back to zero and grind all the way to level 35 to get Joker?
Very confused.
You can buy the character, I guess. So,
yeah. And it's not even new content you have to grind through. It's just reskinned old content. Nice. Mm-hmm. Great work.
That's the game, right? The game's a time loop thing. So,
Is that the twist? No one hears my argument, fuck.
Spoiler. No, I don't.
I believe so. Jump ahead if you don't want to hear what I think I've heard the game is about. Ends. You finish the game and you end up on a different world.
The
events of the game players start again.
Yeah.
Brainiac attacks, and then your solution is to go to another universe. But then Brainiac attacks again.
And it's like the Justice League that you're fighting a lot of the time isn't like that universe's Justice League. It's Justice League members that Brainiac is yoinked from other dimensions.
But anyway, Marvel Rivals, we'll see. It depends on how well the game actually is, the characters, and how like well they've been able to adapt them to this kind of a game. How much towards a shooter it is, or how much towards a MOBA, where like what's the actual objectives? Is it just deathmatch, or is it, you know,
it didn't look like deathmatch.
Yeah,
take your enemy's nexus.
Yeah, you need to take out your enemy's cow. You know, that's what I want. Turrets.
It looked like that was what Hulk was doing at one point. So What about you, Dil?
I'm keen to try it out, you know. Potential to be good and everything like that. I don't think it looks bad, like Ash, so.
What if it had integration with Marvel Snap?
I'd be all over it then, sure.
But as long as this just drops into Marvel Snap, you know.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, I think a lot of the, at least based on the trailer. Oh, you know what, actually, let me say this. I was shocked when I clicked, when Love and Mourning, when the trailer dropped, and I watched it when I woke up. Shocked that I clicked on a video game announcement trailer in the year 2024 that had gameplay in it.
Yeah,
that's true. There wasn't a completely CGI trailer.
Blew my mind. Trailer starts with just like a CGI thing. I'm like, yeah, okay.
It's an and the fact that they're like, hey, the alpha's in May.
Yeah.
It's like 2 months away.
Yeah. I was like, that. So, you know, well done for that. Announcing a game with gameplay. What a fucking idea. I think it looked pretty fun and everything. Obviously, it's going to be that gist of like actually trying it out. So. Would be the make or break, but I think based on this trailer, it's a cool idea. You know, like let's just take a bunch of characters that people love, and we'll get them to care about this game. If this game wasn't Marvel, people would care, right? If this was a bunch of new IP,
yeah, I mean that's the king.
That's the thing.
It's because of the IP that people are even giving it a chance, which
isn't necessarily a bad thing. But it just means that okay.
Well if it's good, it's not a bad thing.
If it's good, it's not a bad thing. If it's bad, it's a bad thing. But it's, yeah. Yeah, I'm keen to try it out. I think investigate a little bit more. All right, and final story I had for this week was to talk a little bit about Spyro the Dragon potentially.
Spyro the Dragon.
Eurogamer says Spyro Studio Toys for Bob has reportedly reached an agreement with Microsoft for its first independent game. According to Windows Central's Jez Corden, who revealed over the weekend that the deal first teased by Studios Heralds Paul Yan and Avery Lodato has now been finalized. Toys for Bob, the Activision Blizzard studio behind the likes of Skylanders, Crash Bandicoot 4, and Spyro Remasters, announced it was parting ways of Activision to become an independent company back in January. It also
of their own choice.
Of their fucking hell.
congrats to them for going independent.
Quote, sources have indicated to me previously that Toys for Bob's culture didn't gel well with Activision's off restrictive corporate mandates, and they were excited for the opportunity to spin out as an independent in agreement with Microsoft, Corden said. Continuing, when they initially spun out, they released a statement indicating that they were confident they would work with Activision and Xbox in the future and that they're exploring a possible partnership. During a recent town hall meeting described to us by sources familiar with the event, a staffer asked the panelists about Toys for Bob. Bob, given that they're now going independent, separate from Microsoft and Activision, Toys for Bob's leadership was adamant about them keeping the team together and also about returning to the style of the game the studio is known for. Microsoft referenced how they spun out Twisted Pixel in the past as an alternative option to shuttering studios. Matt Booty, now leading Xbox's game content division, reportedly said said that agreement has now been reached between Xbox and Toys for Bob for the first game as an independent studio. However, he stopped short of describing exactly what it will be, although he did say it would be something similar along the lines of it'll be similar to other games Toys for Bob made in the past, blah, 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 blah. A lot of people are reporting that could potentially, considering they're still working with Activision, that they could agree to give them the license to make they're making the game as an independent studio, but it'll be, you know, it's an IP
still owned, yeah,
so they would still own the game. So what do you reckon, are they gonna make because the game that people have been wanting them to make next was a sequel to Spyro, because we got the Crash game, we got the Crash
sequel, Crash Spear sequel, sequel, yeah,
and we never I think they reboot Spyro.
They're clearly gonna remake Skylanders.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Maybe they do, but I don't. I think.
Remake Skylanders. Cool.
I think in a way they do, but they just do it without the toys.
Okay.
But no, I just think, for me, I think they should start fresh with Spyro and write a new story. And they've done it before, and Spyro has been rebooted like 3 or 4 times now. I think Spyro had a lot more story going for it and a lot more detail than Crash ever has. So Crash 4 happening, I think, is easier to happen rather than going back and making a new Spyro. And I just think it would be cool to start off fresh and to see what they could do, you know, like they did with Ratchet and Clank. Even if they want to redo like an altered version of the first Spyro, but like change it a bit and update it and do what they did with Ratchet and Clank, and then move into a new storyline or a new timeline for Spyro. Don't feel the need to remake and re-go over everything. Rehash, start with something fresh.
What do you reckon, Ash? Other than Sky?
I mean, I guess it depends on how quickly we want to turn something around. Like, do you remake the Legend of Spyro trilogy, or do you, you know, redo the other titles that were included in the original run that weren't in the trilogy?
So there's like Enter the Dragon was another soft reboot. Enter the Dragonfly, that was it, sorry. Yep. Was another soft reboot. I don't know. I think they should just do something quote unquote new at this point.
Like if they do a new IP, but it's like in their wheelhouse, that means they're creating a mascot platformer type thing that they're sort of known for. Could that even be successful these days if it's not based on a current IP with nostalgia factor?
Wow, it depends. If depends on what they're wanting to do with it. Is it going, Xbox going to pay to put it straight in Game Pass?
Yeah, it depends on if it's like what was the Rare one?
Rare Replay.
No, not it was a
Banjo Bolts and Nuts.
No. It was, they pretty much did Banjo-Kazooie, but it was like a comedian.
Oh, ukulele.
Ukulele, that's it. Mm. Ukulele.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wrong because it's like, oh, you guys just want to make Banjo-Kazooie, but you don't have the rights to make Banjo-Kazooie. Sure. Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I feel like if they make something, they have to make something completely, another mascot game, but like completely new. Because we've seen that mascot games work. Because like Ratchet and Clank, that game was like Rift Apart was amazing. With or without that being a Ratchet and Clank game. It wasn't, yes, because...
But it was still... You cannot separate it from the fact that it's Ratchet and Clank. It's impossible to.
But if you did that, something that level with a new IP, I think it would work anyway.
I don't feel like it would have sold as well. People are just going to buy because of Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
But that
it's
was
the same as in any entertainment at the moment. It needs to be IP adjacent or involved, like for any sort of money, you know, any sort of big amount of money. Anything that is not indie at the moment needs to be something
remake
based on IP.
It has to be a remake, or it has to be a sequel or a remake. Yeah.
Unless you're like a massive studio at the moment. Mm.
So I think so, but the thing is, when I say do something new, I mean do something new with Spyro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, it's like the same thing as me being like, and it's something I've been thinking about a little while. I really want Sucker Punch or somebody at Sony make me a new fucking Sly Raccoon game. You know, like make Sly Cooper, make it another iteration of Sly Raccoon. Do start that shit again. Like I know it's
they
bad.
Make a fourth one.
They make a fourth one, but I want them to.
Made by Sanzaru.
Go again though. Go again on modern day systems using the platform properly. Do what you've done with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, but for these other really iconic characters that you've had.
I'm down for that because I love that series, and that fourth game actually ends on a
cliffhanger.
Right? Like do Sly Cooper. And I know people are like, oh, you don't want to. Remakes are working though, and there is some good remakes, but then it's just there's so much potential with IPs that are left. You know. It's never going to happen. I've forever
Soul Reaver.
Begging for a Legacy of Kain / Soul Reaver. You knew where I was fucking going with it, right?
Like, we've been podcasting for 6 months over here.
like Legacy of Kain / Soul Reaver is, you know, one of my all-time favorite franchises. Like, it's there's so many franchises and IPs that they have in their fuck. Don't want to do it as like I'm talking in general now. I'm not talking about Toys of Bob, but like, you know. Stuff like Infamous. Like, Second Son was not great, but at the same time, it was still really fun to play. I still think there are so many IPs out there that these studios
do you know why they called it Second Son?
Why?
Because it's Second Son.
No, it's because they couldn't call it First because it would be like it to relate to how he wasn't actually a First Nations person playing a character. But.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah, okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's your boy.
It's your boy.
Troy Baker. Baker. I just thought that. I thought it was a really good joke. So I just thought I'd share with everyone. That's coming through. What else would Toys for Bob do otherwise? You wouldn't want them to do anything outside of mascot thing, would they, would you? Especially when they're saying that's what they're
doing.
Mate,
the thing is, right, there is... maybe Toys for Bob does need to do something else. You know, would you have, 10 years ago now, 10, 15 years ago, would you have said, Naughty Dog shouldn't be doing anything but hero-related stuff?
No.
You know, at the time, you would have been like, yeah, no, Naughty Dog should keep doing Jak and Daxter or should keep doing Crash Bandicoot or something along those lines. And then they're now, you know, one of the most iconic studios in terms of AAA games with The Last of Us and Uncharted. At some point, these studios do have to have the opportunity. Like kids
games. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know how you're going to word it, but... Basically, yeah. make an adult game.
Make an adult game. Like, step out, not even make an adult game, but just step out of your roots and work on something completely fresh or, like, find the way to bring what you love out of that genre into a different genre and do something else. That's what I think. I think the two routes are either use some IP that you have just sat there and enjoy it and love it, or go out there and find something new to work on and find something new to make. And yes, not every studio needs to. Stray too far away from the well and stray too far away. Like, you know, I wouldn't be saying this about Larian or anything. Like, I wouldn't be saying to Larian, hey, stop doing your heavy narrative RPGs.
Make a first-person shooter.
Make a Call of Duty game.
Make Call of Duty, you know? I would never say that to Larian. But Toys for Bob, you know, they fought really hard and they got their... They went independent from Activision of their own choice.
Yeah, they're doing the opposite of that. They're going from making gun skins on Call of Duty games to wanting to make a Spyro game, you know?
Yeah. So do what you want with yourself. Start fresh.
Whatever makes them profitable and sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, I'd still think, like, as I'm all for the Spyro game and everything. There is still something to be said about, like, sort of weird to be like, we're going, all right, so we're independent by choice, but we're mm-hmm. going to come back and make a game for you.
Yeah.
That's our first thing we're going to do.
We're going to work with you again.
I guess it's like, but the thing is, I guess it's maybe when Toys for Bob were leaving, they were kind of like, hey, can we take Spyro with us, or can we take this IP with us?
Like, and no, Activision we're not doing.
Fuck no, that's
we're not making that. We're not making the same mistake Square Enix did with Hitman.
Yeah, fuck it's sort no. Of like
breaking up with your partner and then like coming back to the apartment you lived at to get cucked by their new partner.
Or? No. It's not even cucked, right? No. It's you.
It's like you're the stepson. No, stepfather to some kid, and then you break up. You still want to have a relationship with that kid.
Yeah, or like, you know, it's like you and your partner or your ex had a dog together. Okay. And
You had a dog together. Right. Oh, you had a dog together.
Yeah. Well, they had a dog, then you got together. They had a
dog. But they're like, you know what? You're like, all right. They're like, all right, I want to keep it, but you can come around and hang out.
Fredo is my dog too. Yeah. Right? That's what you're saying, right? Anyway, thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Arcade Couch. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. Tweet us on Twitter. ExplosionHour.com/Twitter. Take you to our X page. Join our Discord, ExplosionHour.com/Discord. If you like the website and or this podcast or both things at once, head on over to our Ko-fi page at ExplosionHour.com/support. Donate as little as $1. And until next week, same time, same couch. Goodbye.